We are back on the BBP this week. The Bengals travel on the road week three for the Buffalo Bills, still searching for that first win under Zach Taylor as a head coach in regular season. I'm Lindsay Patterson, joined by Bengals beat writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer, Tyler Dragon, and our amazing producer, photographer. You can check his galleries all up and amazing work up on Cincinnati.com, Kareem Elgazar. How you guys doing?
Doing good. It's already week three. This season's rolling by here.
Man, I love Thursdays.
I do too.
I like Thursdays because, you know, I mean, obviously we work on Sundays, so I don't get to watch much football. So Mondays and Thursdays are my days, man.
So what do you do on Mondays and Thursdays then?
I watch football.
Just watch football the whole day?
No, you know, Monday night football, Thursday night football.
What does the wife say about
that?
Well,
the wife, see, what I try to do, and fortunately she doesn't really listen to the podcast very much. What I try to do is I try to schedule, like we work our work schedules out together. Mm-hmm. So I try to schedule. She's been working a lot of Monday and Thursday nights.
Oh, ooh. It works out for you.
But don't tell her I said
it. Well, on she purpose,
doesn't listen
to I like
the podcast,
it. No, but you got to take those duties too because you have a son. So you have to take those duties earlier in the week where you're like, hey, I'll do this week or I'll go pick up that, maybe go get the groceries and
gotta
just
kind
of do all the good stuff.
Got to do it so then I can have my dad time on Monday and Thursdays.
Okay.
I like it.
Anybody listening out there, don't tell my wife.
Don't tell Kareem's wife at all. Let him enjoy his football and his off days. Well, you guys, speaking of football right now, and I feel like a broken record because we're starting all these podcasts with the offensive line. There's some more changes this week. Everybody did see Andre Smith go out late in the game against the 49ers. He should be good to go against Buffalo, and a lot of fans say not a huge fan of that because Cordy Glenn is still sidelined, and we talked about it earlier in the week, and it's actually since that Redskins preseason game, Cordy Glenn is still out in concussion protocol, and that's something that you can't rush, but at this point it's still concerning out there.
Yeah, it is concerning. His concussion is lingering a little bit. He's still in protocol. Zach Taylor described him as still day-to-day. I feel like it's been day-to-day for the last month. I did see him stretching and doing some light running with the offensive line on Wednesday, so that is a positive sign. As far as when he'll be back, obviously not this week, and I'm don't believe next week either, because when you miss this amount of time practicing and games, you just don't go out there and begin just playing as the starting left tackle right away. You need practice time. You need to build your condition up. You gotta, I mean, get used to it again, because he's rusty at this point because he's missed so much time. So it's going to be interesting to see when he comes back. I doubt it's next week, maybe the week after that, because he's just missed too much time just to throw him out there right away.
I'm a little befuddled by this concussion situation.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, yes, you're right. Concussions, particularly in what we know now of the severity of concussions, that you need to, you know, play cautiously any type of concussions. But a concussion more than a month, you know, I think he self-reported his concussion, I believe it was week two of the preseason. I'm not
33 days ago.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be, again, I don't want to get too alarmist here and be too much of an alarmist, but like, how serious is this? I mean, is this something that could end his season? Is this something that can be put on, you know, IR with, and then scheduled to return? I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself or speculate too much, but I don't even remember when it happened. I don't know if you guys watched film or watched the tape and seen when this happened, but it's very concerning because already going into the season, the offensive line was a huge question mark. And, you know, Jonah Williams out, Cordy Glenn with the concussion, Michael Jordan, who, you know, impressed in preseason and to get the start, he's kind of banged up. It's very concerning.
Yeah, it's, you know, not. I watched the film in Washington, and it's not real clear when he got concussed. Mm-hmm. He reported the concussion after the game to the Bengals medical staff, and he has not obviously practiced or played since. But nobody really knows when it actually happened. Mm. So it's, again, like you said, and like everybody else has said, this is a real delicate situation. especially after all we know and after all the research has been out on concussions. So you don't want to throw him out there. And then just from an athletic standpoint, when he is healthy, you still don't want to just throw him out there because he's missed so much time. And you have to knock the rust off. You have to get those practice reps. You have to get your wind back up. And you have to, you know, start doing offensive lineman, left guard type of drills before you go out there and start blocking for Andy Dalton and try to contain and try to stymie these rushers in the NFL.
You mentioned Rusty. When he does get back out there, it's crazy to believe that AJ Green could end up playing before Cordy Glenn gets back out there. But is a rusty Cordy Glenn better than Andre Smith right now?
Andre Smith had a rough game. He had back-to-back penalties, and when he was in the game before he got injured, it wasn't like he was really blocking well. He has not looked good. He performed okay in Seattle, so I do have to give him credit for his week one performance. However, it was all downhill in week two. It was he probably performed the worst out of all the offensive linemen on the Bengals in week two.
Michael Jordan out right now day-to-day and will miss against the Buffalo Bills. They did say that Billy Price will get the start. I think that's interesting because he did talk yesterday and he's excited about the opportunity. And when they announced that Trey Hopkins was going to be the starting center, Billy took it okay and just said, you know, when that opportunity comes, I'm gonna capitalize on it and I'm ready for it. What can we expect from Billy Price on Sunday?
Well, former first-round pick, got demoted in the offseason, and this is a time for him to prove himself, prove that he was worthy of a first-round pick. He's played left guard a little bit in college, so he's used to that position. He's got some reps on it this offseason and in the preseason. So this is his time to show the coaching staff that he can be a starting offensive lineman. And, I mean, he was a starter last year before he got hurt, but this is a whole new regime, and he has to prove that he's able to block and able to sustain himself and also be in the field because he's always been nicked up and he's started the training camp with a foot injury. So I'm going to be really keeping an eye on Billy Price to see if he can handle that left guard spot, because when he got in there in week two, there was a play where he got called in a holding call and he got blown up. So that wasn't a good sign because, I mean, you got limited reps, and by the time you got in there, you already got a holding call on you and you got blown up in the middle there. So we'll see. Buffalo's defensive line is nothing to play with. They're pretty good.
Price did talk about in the locker room this week. I actually want to talk about him taking advantage of that opportunity that he's going to get on Sunday.
No, I think it's a great opportunity for myself to be able to kind of showcase that I'm multi-talented, not just playing center and understanding offense, but playing guard as well. Again, we got great chemistry in the room. I think, again, whoever's plug and play puts a great opportunity for that guy to go out there and put some great film on there. And I know we're excited to do it.
All right, Kareem, you know Trey Hopkins. He had 6 starts at center last year when Billy Price did get hurt. Zach Taylor praised him, a guy in preseason and training camp who can play multiple positions on the O-line, and he was actually asked about that, if they could switch things up and maybe move Trey over because he can do multiple positions and put Billy back at center. Why do you think it's a good idea to keep Trey there?
I was going to say, yeah, I don't think it's a very good idea to move Trey out of that center position. He's the only stable rock so far that we've seen in 2 weeks at the offensive line. He's the quarterback of the offensive line. He's really taken ownership of that position, and you can see it in his body language. You can see it in the kind of also the chemistry with Andy Dalton. Now, it's, you know, the passing game, in my, you know, surprisingly, is really the only thing they got cooking right now offensively. And so you don't want to mess with one of the only things that you have cooking offensively. And I think the center position is extremely important for Andy Dalton, and for the passing game that we've seen is doing okay. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it with the center position. The rest of the offensive line, you got to fix it. But the center position right now seems to be a very strong point, so just leave it alone.
100%. Trey Hopkins has performed the best on the offensive line. He has been the only stabilizing force on the offensive line. He hasn't allowed too many pressures. I believe he hasn't allowed a sack through 2 games. So I 100% agree. Trey Hopkins, you don't move him over to left guard. You keep him there at center. He's built a rapport with Andy Dalton, and he's performed well. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it, like Kareem said.
Yeah, Zach Taylor said on Wednesday, it's a one-spot move. Instead of switching two people up, Trey's done really consistently at center. The communication is really good with him and Andy Dalton. They're confident Billy could play center, but there's no reason to do that. Billy played well at guard in preseason, so that's what we're going to see on Sunday. We'll stick with the offensive line, and everybody knows the trouble. Speaking of all the offensive problems, the run game. One thing Joe Mixon did talk about, and I kind of laughed in the inside because he said, it's my fault. I'm taking it personal that we can't get anything going on the run game. Joe Mixon, every time he had a great run, and we even saw it in preseason, it gets called back because of an offensive line penalty. So I don't know if Mixon's to blame right now, and I think everybody knows that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, Joe Mixon's being a good leader by not throwing his teammates under the bus. I remember vividly in Seattle, as soon as there was one play, as soon as he got handed the ball by Andy Dalton, Bobby Wagner was right there in his face. He had no chance. And it's been that on a continuous basis for Joe Mixon. As soon as he gets handed the ball, he has two or three defenders right in his face. He has to make three or four moves in the backfield just to get a yard or two. And as you mentioned, the penalties, I mean, his longest run of the preseason got called back for a penalty. He had a 14-yard run against Washington, and it was that play where he had this highlight-worthy stiff arm on Josh Norman, and it got called back for a hold. Then you go to week two, his longest run of the season, 12 yards, call back for another hold. So his longest run right now has been just 9 yards, and there hasn't been any type of rhythm running the football. One, because of the penalties that get called back when you have a positive chunk gain in a run game. And then the Bengals are playing behind the sticks a lot. So, I mean, you're forced in passing situations. And then also the scoreboard. When you're losing by getting blown out, you got to throw the ball. So there's been a lot of reasons why the Bengals haven't been able to run the football. But the most flagrant, the most obvious reason is that offensive line. The offensive line has not been able to get a push, has not been able to open up holes for Joe Mixon. And right now they've shown that they are more comfortable and just slightly better at pass blocking than run blocking.
You know, and this is a big problem because my understanding is that the Zach Taylor offense is predicated on play action. And so, yes, you got the passing game cooking a little bit here, but it's not sustainable so long as you can't run the ball mm-hmm. at all. You got to keep the defense in some way, generally speaking, but specifically in a Zach Taylor offense that it thrives on play action. Like, for example, the Tyler Eifert touchdown. That was a play action play, and Tyler Eifert, for his part, really sold the play action, and then he went over to the pylon on the outside, and he got an easy touchdown. So that's kind of like the perfect example of why establishing a run game, and specifically in this Zach Taylor offense, is so critical. So you know, hopefully they get some kind of. It doesn't have to be an amazing run game going, you know, in week three, but something.
Yeah, I mean, you got to average more than 1.8 yards a carry now.
They
have the worst rushing attack in the entire National Football League.
And that's such a surprise going into this season. I thought it would be the other way around. It'd be a little bit, you know, the passing game wouldn't be as strong, while the running game would be very strong. It's actually the opposite.
I think Andy Dalton's probably like, okay, I'm icing my arm after the game. I mean, yeah, we got to get something going and balancing it. And I agree. I think it is surprising. And some people would say, why do you think it's surprising? Look at that offensive line. You knew going in it was going to be bad. Well, you had a terrible offensive line in 2018, too. So I think, you know, it isn't Joe Mixon. They have some things to fix on the offensive line, and they're dealing with injuries. Cordy Glenn out. You have Michael Jordan. Jordan out and Billy Price stepping in. So it's going to take a while, and sometimes you just got to get that chemistry and some other guys on the offensive line stepping up. I actually want to go to something real quick with Joe Mixon. I did not want to bring this up when we did a podcast earlier in the week because he was asked about it at the home game, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I'm hitting on it because I thought this was pretty funny. Look, the booing stuff, I don't. You can feel how you want. If you want to boo, you want to boo. If players want to get mad, players are going to get mad. I hate that question. I hate when that gets asked to a player because they're going to be like, yeah, I don't want to get booed. Nobody wants to get booed. But Joe Mixon, and you mentioned kind of his leadership in the locker room, and yeah, he said something afterwards like, hey, I, you know, maybe they can come out and do better. And then he played that off and said, I'd like to put a flag football team together and, you know, get some guys out and we'll have fun. I need this to happen, Tyler. Like, I need this to happen. If this season starts to go downhill, we'll just get the fans out there doing a little flag football action. I think this is exactly what needs to happen right
now. I mean,
now.
I almost asked him if I can play. I'm like, can I get in this flag football action? if that does happen, I mean, he sounded serious. Like, he was legit going to make it happen. I know fans will be excited, and they will show up in droves if Joe Mixon and some of his teammates throw a flag football game out there and just see what fans got, since they, you know, like to talk behind the keyboard, and half of them, if not 99.9% of them, have no athletic ability at all. So it's going to be interesting, and it will be a sight to see if fans come out there and Joe Mixon actually stays true to his word. I don't know if he's being facetious, though.
Cream, you going to go out and shoot that?
No.
Cream's like, I'm going to
You don't
want to
play, Kareem?
I'll play.
He's not going to work that.
I'll play. I got hands. I can catch.
Okay.
But I'm not going to go shoot that, no.
Lindsay, you going to play?
No.
You're not
no.
going to play?
But I think this would be really great, and I need this to happen, especially if the season just starts going downhill, a little flag football action with the fans. But, yeah, Joe Mixon definitely stepped up in the locker room on Wednesday and said, it's my fault, even if it's not his fault. He's just trying to take the blame, take a little bit off of his offensive line right now.
I will say this, though, and the Bengals won't admit it, but teams are keying in on Joe Mixon, and they are, in my opinion, they are forcing Andy Dalton to throw the football. Seattle pretty much said, you are not going to run the football on us. You're going to have to throw to beat us, and they won. The 49er game, they had an extra safety in the box. It did not matter at the end of the game. Then they moved the safety out high because they knew the Bengals were going to throw, because they just had an insurmountable deficit that they could not the Bengals could not overcome. So that, in my opinion, teams are saying, you know what, you don't have AJ Green out there at receiver, so, and we don't really believe John Ross is going to beat us for an entire game. We don't believe Tyler Boyd is going to beat us, and Tyler Eifert, I mean, he's still a good tight end, but he's not going to beat us over the top. He's just going to get these short games at this point in career. So we are going to stop your best player offensively, and that's Joe Mixon. And thus far they have.
And one thing I actually put out on social media earlier in the week, because I wanted to see what fans would say. I wanted to take offensive line out. I wanted to take the running game out. What does this team, Cream, and this is so generic, what do they need to do to get better?
I think they need to do a whole lot of things better.
you want to go through a list?
I honestly think it's a matter of knowing your role and knowing where to be on the field. I think that will help solve a lot of issues. I think that will help solve in run blocking, in tackling, and in coverage. So, it's a broad question. Yes, it's a generic question. But I think knowing your role and knowing where to be on the field will help solve a lot of the tackling issues, a lot of the run blocking issues, a lot of, defensive issues in terms of where to be, in terms of how to defend a certain player or a certain play. So knowing where to be on the field, I think, is the main thing to help improve the team so going forward.
I think the overall reaction, Tyler, after the game was, we're not discouraged. We fall to 0-2. There's still 14 games left. Zach Taylor even said that after the game. That's your overall feel just from a week in the locker room from the guys, right?
Yeah, to their credit, they're not discouraged. I mean, there are a lot of teams in league history that have started 0-2 and have been able to turn around. If they start off 0-3, though, you're going to start to see pessimism creep into that locker room. They're going to wonder, I mean, are we a good team? Are we as good as we thought? You know, when you lose 41-17, you can't, your confidence takes a hit. trust me on that. And if they lose up in Buffalo and start 0-3, and then they look around the division and you see the Baltimore Ravens, who they haven't played yet, have an unblemished record. Then you look at the Cleveland Browns. Yes, they lost the game, but they are playing better than the Bengals right now. The only team that's pretty much on their level is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's because they lost their starting quarterback. So when you look around the division and you look around the NFL, the Bengals are one of the bottom teams in the NFL right now based on how they've looked on the field through 2 weeks. They got to get it together, or they're going to be watching the playoffs just like us. I know we did not predict them to make the playoffs. I mean, we all expected them to be a sub-500 team this year. And, I mean, they're pretty much proving us right.
Yeah.
So it's got, like, if they want to prove us wrong, like they said they wanted to, then you better turn it around because you're already in the 0-2 hole.
I don't want to look too far ahead, but you did mention Pittsburgh and some good news, some semi-good news when you look at the offense right now. AJ Green, he's out there working on the side and could possibly be back with that extra day next week.
Yeah, I did see AJ Green run for the first time yesterday at Wednesday's practice. He was doing some drills, some agility drills and some other running drills on the rehab field on the side, and he did not have a noticeable limp. It's looking like he's getting inching towards coming back. Zach Taylor describes him as week to week. He's obviously not playing this week. I am still optimistic about week four in Pittsburgh. It's a Monday night game, bright lights, prime time. You have an extra day to prepare that week. So I'm optimistic. I would not be surprised if he didn't play, but I'm hopeful that he is going to play, and the Bengals offense needs him, because I think AJ Green will also open up the running game, because you need other stars out there that opposing defenses will respect, and defenses are going to respect AJ Green, and you're not going to have a safety up on the box all the time if AJ Green is out there out wide. You got to respect his over-the-top speed. You have to respect his ability to get long gains on catches. So that opens up the run game a little bit for Joe Mixon, where you don't have an extra guy right there keying in on him, because you have a Pro Bowl caliber receiver on the outside that you have to pay attention to.
And Kareem, John Ross, your guy.
Yeah, he's my guy.
He's emerging up there, though, with the wide receivers.
He is, and I think, you know, Tyler Boyd was – what, 10 for 10? 10 catches on 10 targets in week two. And, you know, and John Ross, obviously, yeah, he's my guy. I know I've been hard on John Ross. And I'm still skeptical. I know through 2 weeks he's among the leaders in the NFL in terms of receiving. But, you know, we still are seeing some drops, and we're still seeing some miscues here and there. But, you know, that 4-2 speed, we're seeing it now. Right?
Yep.
We're seeing him kind of jet down the field, and I think that's really going to help, again, the running game. But, you know, to say that when A.J. Green comes back and all the complement of full receivers is going to help the running game, yes, I think to a certain degree, but they already are passing really well. So we're supposed to be – I would think we're supposed to be seeing some more improvement in the running game. So I hope the success continues for John Ross, and I hope he continues to prove me wrong, because after all, you know, I do, you know, you're an objective observer of the team, but you want to see the team do well. So I hope he continues to prove me wrong. And then I'm sure one of these podcast episodes, I will be like, all right, I am a John Ross believer.
you got to take the drops of the touchdowns.
Yeah. You know, and again, I know you can say it was garbage time or whatever in week two, but it's a touchdown, still a touchdown. He still made a good play, and he still, you know, ran the right route and still beat his man. So, yeah, I hope it continues for John Ross.
And Kareem, I actually want to go back to you for Tyler Eifert. Mm-hmm. He is someone who you've watched in this offense. He's been on the team for 7 years, which still sounds crazy insane because I know he's been injured most of those years. He's being used differently with this offense, and I think this is good for his mental and physical part on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Tyler, he's starting, not starting, but really taking into account the big picture. And of course, as a professional athlete, really in any profession, you always want to be the guy. You always want to be the starter. You always want to play the most snaps or take the most assignments or do the good job, right? But for him, I think, you know, playing half the snaps or playing, you know, 25, 30 snaps, I think he kind of likes it. And I think he's like, okay, this can be good for me mentally and physically beyond football. But even during the course of the football season, you know, he can be like, okay, I can play throughout the season and be a contributor in my spots. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's long overdue, honestly. I think they should have tried to be doing this before with Tyler. And I understand the argument against that is that Tyler Eifert is such a good football player and such a good tight end. We need him on the field all the time. But you want him on the field for the duration of the season, not just 8 games, not just 10 games, right? So I think this is the way they're using him is good for the team and good for Tyler.
And one thing with Tyler, I actually talked to him about it, that touchdown he scored. He goes, it was one of the easiest touchdowns of my career. But he said, it just an emotional moment to finally get back in the end zone when you go through all of that rehab. And let's go flip sides a little bit, the defense, Tyler. And one of the things that we've talked about after watching the meltdown at home defensively, tackling. Is it really just that easy being in the right place at the right time? Or is it still we're kind of going through the preseason mode where in training camp and practice, you're not really tackling the guy. You're not going after him. Is that hurting them right now? And are they finally going to get it?
It sounds elementary, but tackling is all about discipline and technique. And the Bengals have not been disciplined when pursuing ball carriers. They haven't taken proper angles. And when they're in the vicinity of the ball carrier, I've seen a lot of arm tackles and just a lot of just lazy, poor technique trying to get receivers and running backs down. And in this day and age, you cannot arm tackle because offensive players are too good. A lot of them have tremendous lower body strength, so arm tackling just does not work. The Bengals missed 11 tackles against the 49ers, and they made Kareem's guy look outstanding.
Breida,
take him in fantasy.
That's Kareem's guy. Like he looked like the second coming of Frank Gore, a young Frank Gore, combined with Barry Sanders with all his moves out there. It was a sight for sore eyes. So tackling is an issue for this team. And, you know, I talked to a lot of Bengals players in the locker room, including Preston Brown, and he pretty much said, yeah, we need to get better at tackling, and it's all about effort, and it's all about wrapping the guy up. And if you can't bring him down, just have him wrapped up because teammates are going to come help you. And that was not the case versus the 49ers, and it better be the case in Buffalo, or they're going to be – flying on the plane quietly and in a 0-3 hole.
You know, this topic frustrates me a little bit. Again, full disclosure, I'm not a football player, okay?
You're not?
I know it's very difficult, okay? But when you reach this level of football play and we're talking about tackling, we're talking about tackling at this level. I mean, it is extremely frustrating to me personally. I feel like we should be talking about tackling at the high school or even college level, you know? To miss that many tackles and to see I don't think it's a matter of effort. They are playing hard. I really do feel like they're playing hard. But, you know, to see these professional NFL football players not making tackles with this regularity is frustrating, and I spending time on talking about it really bothers me. You know, and I understand that, you know, the nature of the game has changed, and it's getting faster, and the guys are getting more slippery. The offensive players are getting more slippery. But if we can't make tackles at this level, then what are we doing here? You know, that's just my my frustrating, you know, my vent. I'm annoyed.
Well, Zach Taylor actually went in a little more depth when they were talking about all the missed tackles. I mean, he saw it out there. He said tackling practice is currently limited. It's more drill work. They're tackling dummies, things like that. It's more eye discipline, being a step faster than you were in the previous play and not much space when you get up and you have to make a miss.
Sorry to interrupt you, Lindsay. It just sounds like what I said earlier is that knowing where you are on the field. You know,
and that's the thing, because you, like Kareem mentioned, like that sounds silly to talk about in the NFL about missing a tackle, and it's just such an eye discipline situation on the defensive side of the ball that you've just got to be there, because if you miss a guy, I mean, the 49ers first touchdown, they got burnt. I mean, it was ugly, and you can't do that at this stage in the game. I mean, even if you are still in preseason mode and you're not tackling enough and you're just working with dummies at the moment, you got to know where the guy is.
Yeah, the 49ers, well, their first touchdown, it wasn't about missed tackle. It was they just
miscommunication.
Yeah, miscommunication.
Yeah.
And Marquise Goodwin just was wide open. It was a great play design by Shanahan. And yeah, the 49ers, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers coach, he called an excellent game plan. I do have to give him credit for that. The 49ers came prepared, and they surprised all of us because we all picked them to lose.
Right.
And it was quite the opposite at Paul Brown Stadium on Sunday.
I kind of want to go off Kyle Shanahan at the moment because Zach Taylor talked about that. He was a younger guy when they brought him in for the 49ers, and they thought, you know, more of a Sean McVay kind of type of offensive mind that they were going to bring in. And Zach Taylor said them getting that chemistry for a couple years has definitely helped the 49ers. I mean, they're off to one of their best starts since the 80s right now, 2-0, and they could be 3-0 after this weekend. Do you feel like maybe, not to look too far ahead because we are only in week three of Zach Taylor's coaching with the Cincinnati Bengals in 2019. Do you think that's what's going to happen with him? Do you think it is going to take a couple years? Or, I mean, what we saw week one and week two, it's just such a huge difference offensively and defensively. Is it going to take a while? Do fans just have to have that patience?
I mean, a lot of the times coaches don't have a while. It's like, what have you done?
It's a little different here.
For me lately. Based on the Bengals' track record, they're going to give Zach Taylor a lot of time based on how long Marvin Lewis was at the helm. So do I envision an offense looking like that and Zach Taylor being a masterful play caller like that? It's hard to say because, I mean, it's just such a small sample size, and we haven't really seen what Zach Taylor can do, because Kyle Shanahan, he was an excellent play caller when he was with the Falcons, and we kind of saw, you know, this coming. With Zach Taylor, he was a quarterback coach with the Los Angeles Rams, so we haven't really seen how a Zach Taylor offense can withstand and play through the long call, so we need to give him more time and just see how he can impact an offense. We've seen through 2 weeks a little bit, but the sample size is too small to make an accurate assessment and an accurate forecast of what this offense is going to look like later on down the road.
Right now, Carl Lawson was a guy who did leave the game early against the 49ers, and he told you, Tyler, I'm going to be fine. A lot of players say that. They say, I'm fine. Everything's okay. Zach Taylor was a little more hesitant on that. We talked about that earlier in the week. He didn't practice on Wednesday.
Yeah, I still believe he's going to play on Sunday. He has a slight hamstring injury. I'm surprised he hasn't had the impact that I expected this season yet, because in training camp practices and through small snaps in the preseason, he looked excellent, and he looked like arguably the best edge rusher the Bengals have and the best pass rusher they have. And through two games of the regular season, he's been kind of quiet, and you haven't seen him pop off on film, so it's kind of been interesting to see him not have that production that we anticipated going into season. Because you have him as your MVP of the defense?
I did,
I can't remember. I think I did, or I maybe had Jesse Bates, but nobody's been MVP.
No, that's true. There's no MVPs right at
there's,
the moment.
The jury's still out of who's going to be MVP of the defense, because right now, I mean, we might be MVPs of the defense because we stopped the 49ers a little bit better than the Bengals did on week two.
Cream, the Bills have beaten two bad teams, the Giants and the Jets. They're off to 2-0 start right now. They get their home opener on Sunday versus the Bengals. Are they good?
Is it prediction time?
No, I just want to know what you think of them. Are they a good 2-0 team, or are they just doing what they're supposed to do, beating the teams in front of them, just like the Baltimore Ravens?
I think they're a much improved team from what we've seen from the Bills over the last few years. I think they're finally kind of starting to gel and got some personnel in there that can play. I think Josh Allen is finding his groove a little bit, and they have some underrated weapons. I think you know, John Brown is a pretty strong, you know, wide receiver one to have on that team compared to what they've had in past years. You know, Devin Singletary, the explosive rookie, you know, he kind of tweaked his hamstring or had some kind of leg injury, so he's probably going to be, I think, is he questionable right now?
Yeah, questionable. Yeah.
He might be out. So we'll see a lot of Frank Gore.
Frank Gore is licking his chops right now. When he looks at that Niners tape, he's like, okay, I might have myself a day.
So I think the Bills are nothing to – they're no slouches right now after 2 weeks. They beat some bad teams, and they should. But I think that the Bills are going to be a formidable opponent. Though the Bengals have played well in Buffalo in recent years. So it's a really tough call to make – about this week three game.
Yeah, the Bills beat the two worst teams in New York, the Jets and the Giants. They are terrible teams. The Bills might be the worst 2-0 team in the league. And I don't use that term lightly. I do give them credit, though. They beat who was in front of them. They have a pretty good defense, and they've had pretty good defenses in Buffalo of late. And as you said, Josh Allen, he has improved as a quarterback. I don't really believe in his passing ability and his ability to be able to dissect defenses to this point. He's still a young quarterback. So I think the Bengals need to force Josh Allen to pass the football. They're still in the bottom half of the league as a passing team, and I believe they rank top 10 in rushing the football right now. So have some guys up in the box, get Jesse Bates, the free safety, in the box, force them to pass the football, because I think they have to kind of do what teams are doing against them. Teams are forcing Andy Dalton to throw the ball, so the Bengals need to force Josh Allen to throw the football and not get beat in the run game, because we've seen them get run over against the 49ers. So I think the game plan for the Bengals, and I have this on one of my three keys, shameless plug, is to force Josh Allen to throw the football and make sure to take the run out of the game, because I think the running game is what can get the Bengals beat this week.
And I think in terms of facing a running back, I think Frank Gore is the type of running back they want to face. We've seen in the first 2 weeks that any kind of speed running game, the Bengals can't respond to it very well.
Yeah.
Frank Gore is going to bring that old school plodding right up the gut running game, which I think, you know, the Bengals can handle.
Yeah, well, they better hope Singletary doesn't play.
Right, exactly.
We have a prediction video up on Cincinnati.com, but go ahead and give them your scores. Are they going to get a win, or is it going to be another L?
So this is a tough one, because the Bengals haven't shown me anything to give me confidence that they can go up to Buffalo and get a victory and give the Bills their first loss of the season. However, I'm picking them because I do believe they have the talent to beat the Bills. I mean, you have one of the best passing attacks in football right now. And Joe Mixon and that offensive line, they are motivated to prove that they can run the football, and they have no business being last place in the NFL running the football, averaging 1.8 yards a carry. I mean, that's pitiful. Defensively, I mean, you have to think they're motivated and want to rebound and knock the terrible taste out of their mouth from getting thrashed by the 49ers. So you have a team on their heels and wanting to prove to fans that these are not the same old Bengals, and you have a new coach wanting to prove that he was the right hire. So the Bengals have so many factors and so many reasons to be motivated to get a win, and they don't have any momentum coming in. The Bills have all the momentum, but I think the Bengals get this one. That's kind of a long-winded answer. I have it 24-21 Bengals. I believe they bounce back and get the W. If they lose this week, though, I'm done.
Kareem is he was scratching his head a little bit because I think he's still
I've been going back and forth on this game. Like, 1 minute I'm like the Bengals win, the next minute the Bills win. This is really, again, to Tyler's point, this is a really tough game to predict. I think the Bengals don't get it done when they go up to the Buffalo this weekend. I think it's going to be close, 27-24 Bills. Remember, you know, this is an embarrassed football team, and that's kind of why I got to go back the other way. I think the Bengals might win because you get blown out in your home opener. You are extremely motivated, and you are an embarrassed football team. And we've seen in the NFL that when you get embarrassed 1 week, the next week they come out playing fire, right? So it wouldn't surprise me if we see the Bengals just come and run right over the Bills and just be like, we're angry, we're embarrassed, we're gonna, you know, stick it to them, right? But I don't think they get it done. I think the Bills defense can make some plays on them, and I think the Bills with Frank Gore and the running game is going to be a little too much for the Bengals. 27-24 Bills, but I'm not really confident in that pick.
And I feel the same way. When they play Buffalo, it's always really interesting. I think defensively they will look better, but I just think it's going to be another bad week for the run game. Unfortunately, the offensive line is still a mess. I'm going to say 24-14 on the road. They're going to drop to 0-3. What's going to be really interesting, I think the Steelers drop to 0-3 too. Not to look too far ahead, but I think that Monday Night Football game is going to get really interesting for the AFC North, and that could be the first dub of the season. But yeah, I think they drop 0-3, but it's still a head scratcher going to Buffalo.
That Pittsburgh game, not to look ahead like you said, but it's gonna be tough to pick too, because the Steelers,
I don't know,
they don't have their starting quarterback. Obviously Antonio Brown is gone, Le'Veon Bell is gone, the Steelers look a mess, and it's almost like they're in for a rebuild in Pittsburgh. So that next week's gonna be a tough game to predict too.
What's up on Cincinnati.com?
So I have my predictions for the week and also three keys for the Bengals to win. I kind of alluded to that earlier in the podcast. The other keys, you have to go on Cincinnati.com to check them out.
Also, we have a cool new feature coming soon. I can't wait to share it with some players, and it'll be coming out. You're going to want to check it up on Cincinnati.com. Some of our social platforms, make sure you're following along E&Q Sports. Our guy behind the scenes over there, producer, photographer, Kareem Elgazar, he has an amazing photo gallery up on Cincinnati.com. All of the photo staff has it, so you're going to want to go check it out and join us every week. We'll have new pods out, 2 a week. This one will be dropping every week before the Bengals take on their opponent. Go check out our prediction video, Bengals versus Bills. And we'll see you on Monday.